Brisos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Aleph, 6:1. We return to the topic of the Asham Talui, and we ask and answer the following question. What happens if, after you've consecrated the animal to be an Asham Talui, but before it's completed, what happens if you find out you don't need to bring it after all? So that can happen in one of two ways. The Mishnah's case is Hamevi Asham Talui. A person brings this ram to the Beis HaMikdash. He's consecrated as an Asham Talui. But then, v'noda lo shelo chata, he discovers, he learns that he didn't actually do the sin. Meaning, he knows for certain he didn't eat the chelev, let's say. So now he doesn't need to bring an asham tali at all. So what does he do? Now this really is halachically the equivalent of if he actually found out that he did eat the chelev, in which case he also wouldn't bring an asham tali, he'd bring an achatas. But in any case, the Mishnah goes with the more mekel, the preferred lenient situation where he did nothing wrong. So what does he do? Im ad shelo nishchat. So we're going to have A, B, and C stages. So stage A is, we haven't slaughtered the animal, it's still alive. So what happens then? So says the first shita, Yetze v'yira be'eder, div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, let it go back and graze with the flock. Meaning, according to Rabbi Meir, the consecration was made b'taos, based on a faulty, incorrect assumption that he needed to bring it. When he finds out he didn't consecrate it or didn't need to consecrate it at all, so then it's going to turn out that it wasn't consecrated. Remember, when you come to consecrate things in the Nadarim and so on, you need to have say what you mean and mean what you say. Here, he made it under false pretenses, therefore it's not consecrated, and therefore it's nothing. It goes back to being a regular chulin animal. That's Rabbi Meir Shita. V'chacham omrim, yira ad shiyistaev, v'yimacher v'yiplu dam of the nadava. They say, and the words mean, let it graze till it gets a blemish, and then you'll sell it and take the money and give it for voluntary offering. So the backstory here is as follows. The Chacham hold, while it's true that, you know, he didn't need to bring it, when he consecrated it, the Lashon of the Gemara is libo nokfobo. His heart was like pounding in his chest. He was panicked, thinking, oh my goodness, I've done something terrible, which, you know, could, you know, it's like a Chiyav Karas type sin. And therefore, I don't care. When I'm consecrating my animals in Asham, I'm doing it absolutely with resolution, and not a way that I would like sort of change my mind if it turned out I need to bring it. No, he's like resolute because he's panicked. And that being the case, that's the svara, an unusual svara, yes. And therefore, since he sort of made it absolutely and resolutely without, you know, the possibility of backtracking, if he discovers later on he didn't need to consecrate it, well, it's still consecrated because he didn't sort of make a implicit conditional consecration, if you know what I mean. That wasn't in his mind. Therefore, the Chacham say it's consecrated. Now, you cannot, of course, bring the animal because you can't bring a voluntary Asham Tali. So what do? You have to essentially redeem its sanctity. But the halach is you can never redeem the Kedusha of a consecrated animal if it's a tamim, if it's like eligible for, you know, blemish-free and eligible for being brought as a korban. So the animal's stuck. It can't be brought. But once it gets a mum, a permanent blemish, mum kavua, then the sanctity can be redeemed off of the animal, only then, and go into money. So what happens is you wait till the animal gets its permanent blemish, then you sell it to somebody else, redeeming the Kedusha off onto money, or you can yourself put the money up. And then that money now is invested with the sanctity of this Kodshei Kodshim, this Asham. So now what do you do with it? You give it to the Beis HaMikdash to purchase what's called Keitz Mizbeach. If you recall from Maseches Shkalim, they had these shofaros, these kind of community chests, where you put money in, and that money is used to purchase olos, voluntary communal burnt offerings that were Keitz Mizbeach, that were used whenever the Mizbeach was sort of idle. So it shouldn't be that no one's making use of the Mizbeach, there's always something burning there. So that will be a communal offering, Kachay Kachim. That's where money should go, say the Chachamim. And the third Shita is Rabbi Eliezer, who holds Omer Yikrav, you can bring it anyways. Shim Eino Va Al Chet Zeh, Harehu Va Al Chet Acher. Even if it's not coming to atone for this sin anymore, because he's confirmed that he doesn't need for this particular sin, whether he did it or didn't do it, he knows what he did or didn't do, and therefore there's no need to bring out Hashem Tali, but it can come to atone for some other kind of sin. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer has a shita, we'll explore this in the third mission of the Perek, which is that you can bring a voluntary Asham Tali, just like you can bring a voluntary Ola and a voluntary Shlamim. You can bring in a voluntary Asham Tali to atone for whatever sin you don't know about. And in fact, you can bring it even if you knew you didn't do any sins. It's like you can do a voluntary Asham Tali. So that's what Rabbi Eliezer holds. Just bring it. No problem. You actually have no choice but to bring it. You can't undo it because it's been consecrated as an Asham Tali. And when you consecrate it, you sort of had that in mind, so to speak, which is that, you know, if for some reason it turns out you don't need to bring it after all, you're still going to bring it on a voluntary basis. That's Rabbi Eliezer Shita. Now, that's kind of stage A. Now, what happens if you go to stage B? You already slaughtered the animal. but you haven't yet offered its blood. So now what do you do? Says the Mishnah. Im mishenishchat nodalo, if after the ram has been slaughtered, but you haven't yet poured the blood of the Mizbeach, or applied it to the Mizbeach, what do you do? Hadam yishafech, the blood should be poured out, meaning it's poured down the drain in the middle of the temple courtyard. There was an amasamayim, like a water canal, like a drain, where water flowed down to the Kidron Valley. So you pour it in there. That's what you do with all pasul korbanos of blood if that happens. Vabasar yetzel beisa sreifa. The flesh, meaning the carcass, now goes to the beisa sreifa, the burning place, which is a place in the temple complex designated for burning of korbanos that get pasul. So this is a korban pasul now. It's been slaughtered, but can't be offered, and therefore the meat is burned. That's the chshita of the chachamim, because, you know, it can't be brought. It's pasul. According to Rabbi, and so it's a pasul korban, so that's straightforward enough. According to Rabbi Meir Shita, since he held that there was like sort of a contingency built into the consecration, whereby if a person discovered he didn't need to bring the Asham Tali after all, it's like not binding. So the reason why the blood is being poured down the drain here is because it was not a pasul korban, but rather chulin, unconsecrated animal, that was nishchat in the Azara, that was slaughtered in the Azara. So the blood goes now down the drain. As far as the carcass, really, me'ikar adin alacha is that you bury, not burn, chulin, that was slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash. But here, even Rav Meir agrees, by dint of a durabanan, the rabbis are afraid people get concerned. They would think, they would misunderstand and think this is a pasul korban, that you're burying, not burning. Therefore, he said, just burn it, and that'll keep things simple. The point is, it's asr bahanan, so burning is also going to fulfill that obligation, only that it's rabbinic and not more than that, according to Rav Meir. According to Rabbi Eliezer, what's the problem? You're allowed to proceed, so just proceed. Put the blood of the Mizbeach as a voluntary offering, and then that's done. The third stage is, what happens if Nizrak Adam, you've already, the blood has been put on the Mizbeach, and then you discover, oh no, actually the person didn't sin at all, or did do the sin, and therefore we have to go into the next stage. So says the Mishnah, okay, that's fine. Habasar Yachel. Even if the basar, the meat of the offering, has not yet been eaten, it can be eaten, no problem, because that is the whole point of an Asham Tali. Everyone knows when you bring an Asham Tali, at some point in the future, you may discover the truth, which would then obviate the need for an Asham Tali. Asham Tali you only bring when you don't know what actually happened. So whether it happens a minute later or 10 years later, it makes no difference. Once it's done, it's done. So the mitzvah has been done of Asham Tali, and that the person got, you know, that temporary staying of the consequences of a sin. And so everything's kosher v'yosher, and the animals, you know, we proceed. The emurim go to the mizbeach, the kohanim eat the meat, and everything is, that's exactly what a Asham Tali is and does. No problem. Okay? Now, there's one other shita lingering here, which is the shita of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi omer afilu hadam bakos. Rabbi Yossi says, even if the blood hasn't been applied yet, but it's now been received. Remember the four steps of a zevach, you have the shechita, then you have the kabbalah, the receiving into a klishar, it's a consecrated vessel. That's the kos, if you're the cup. So Rabbi Yossi says, as soon as the blood has been received from the animal, Yizarek, it should be applied to the Mizbeach, even if at that point you discover the Hashem Toli doesn't need to be brought. And even though Rabbi Yossi holds that you can't bring it on a voluntary basis, he says still you apply the blood, v'habasar ye'achel, and the meat is eaten. So the reason why Rabbi Yossi holds this is really for, he has two separate principles which the Chacham don't agree with, okay? Principle number one is that if you recall, there's a notion of, remember, like once you put some korbanos, once you put on the Mizbeach, if you discover that that was a mistake, you don't take them down anymore. If you remember that from Zavachim. So something similar he holds when it comes to a klisharis. When the blood goes into a klisharis, a consecrated vessel, that kind of kosherizes certain non-kosher korbanos. So this animal shouldn't have been brought, we find out. But since it's now blood has gone onto the into the klisharis, it's like consecrated and sort of solves that problem. That's a shita. So in other words, instead of the mizbeach doing that magical step, if you will, it happens already in the kos, in the klisharis. And second of all, he holds that once it's in the klisharis, that's like as if already applied in the mizbeach. Okay, it's like the there's no separate thing. Once it makes the klisharis, it's like as if it's done. The same way, the finish line, if you will, for every korban that determines, you know, has it or has it not yet done its magic, is when it gets to the mizbeach. But Rabbi Yossi holds that once it's in the kos, the klisharis, it's as if it's there. Kol ha'omen lizrok. Kazaruk dami, as if it's ready to be applied, then it's been applied already. That's a real Sishita, but the Chacham disagree on both of those principles. They say, no, there's no magic in the Klisharis. Just because it got in the Klisharis doesn't mean it's now in kosherized. And even if it's in the Klisharis, it doesn't mean it's sort of implied to the Mizbeach. Halacha is like the Chachamim.